This all sounds very much like a blending together of space-time and time-space, so we can function in both worlds at the same time. Boyce and Grenette give valuable context from other sources about the same thing on pages 444 to 445. In another passage, 1 Corinthians 7:29 through 31, Paul, believing that the appointed time has grown very short, declared that the form of this world is passing away. Some centuries later, Augustine saw this change of the world's form. The cosmos, too, is to pass out of time into eternity, and is to share, according to its capacity, in the eternity of the immutable truth. In the final consummation of all things, therefore, time will be no more. All will be eternal, God, man, the world. This teaching, found by Augustine in Paul, has been characterized as remarkable, but it is, in fact, what had been taught by Zoroaster and believed by his followers down the ages. On pages 365 to 366, we hear about how we will have a future body that is a return to perfection. Among Zoroaster's eschatological ideas was his teaching about the future body, that at the last day, the bones of the dead will be clothed again in flesh and reanimated by the soul, which has been existing apart in heaven, hell, or limbo, according to the individual judgment passed on it at death. According to him, each created thing, animate or inanimate, possesses its own indwelling force or spirit. And Ahura Mazda created these spirits first, and then clothed them in material forms. At the end of time, there will be a return to that perfection, with the blessed entering into the kingdom of Ahura Mazda in the ideal form of a just soul, clad in an unblemished body, made immortal and undecaying. Bear in mind, this is not talking about a single messianic figure. This is saying that the blessed will achieve this feat. This could be many different people. Boyce and Grenette carefully trace how the difficulties of Roman and Macedonian rule affected Zoroastrian prophecies as well, causing later writers to adopt much more of a doom and gloom approach, which then seeded into all other Western religions. Nonetheless, what we see in the oldest, least disturbed accounts is of a world that is transformed, in which time as we know it has come to an end, but not in a cataclysmic fashion. Evil is exposed and dwindles away, and humanity on earth appears to have transformed into an unblemished body, made immortal and undecaying. The Golden Race. Getting back to the intense, multilingual scholarship of Baldry on the Roman writings about the Golden Age, he concludes that the Roman poets mistranslated the words saecula and aetas as both meaning age, but in fact, saecula may mean either race or age, and aetas should be translated as race. Now it all comes together. Everyone thinks the classical prophecies are talking about a golden age, and that's definitely a part of it. But that's also a mistranslation. The Zoroastrian prophecy of immortality in an ideal and unblemished body made its way into Greek thought as a golden race. But this was then mistranslated by the Romans into the idea of a golden age, without necessarily describing what would happen to us once we get there. The last word in Novus Ordo Seclorum is derived from saecula as well. So this directly relates to the Sibylline prophecies, giving them even greater context, as well as the Great Seal of the United States. It is extremely important to mention that this golden race is not some weird and sick Hitlerian vision of a bunch of blonde-haired, blue-eyed Wunderkinder, or Nietzschean overmen that everyone else must die off in order to make room for. Just like the Casey readings said about the fifth root race, this golden race may well be everyone on Earth within a finite period of time, not just a particular nationality or skin color. As we just learned, Zoroaster called it the future body. Let's pick up with Baldry again to learn more about this so-called golden race. Gold played no part in the generally accepted picture of those whom Hesiod called the golden race. These Greek authors, like Hesiod, all refer to a golden race. It is only in Latin poetry that this is sometimes replaced by a golden age. Gold, far from having a place in the traditional picture, was seen as one of the causes of degeneration from that happy state. It was Roman writers who made the transition from a golden race to a golden age, and from them, the concept was handed down into more modern literature. This really blew my mind. The coming of the Age of Aquarius surrounding the year 2012 is the repetition of a cycle that has already occurred before.